All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual who has an intriguing fight going down at BTC 13 Power. It's transpiring on November the 20th, a bantamweight bout as Mike Johnson and Tishe Guthrow test skills. And happy to be talking to Tishe once again. How's the day going so far there, man?
It's good, man. Put in about 3 hours today already. Yeah. Woke up early, did some plyos, then right to the gym for 10:30, finished up at 1:30. It's been long already.
Yeah, some steady Niagara top team work, I trust.
Yeah, man, on the grind.
I saw you with Aaron Jeffrey a bit ago there, and I thought that was cool because it seemed like he'd been in Vegas for a little bit, so that must have been fun to kind of have him back in the fold there. You're working with some of the usual suspects ahead of this one, though, like Jasmine, Jazz Davisius, Chris Prickett, like all of those kind of people?
Yeah, all the same people. Yeah, it's nice to have AJ and Jazz back. They're gone for a little bit.
It seems like you were also getting in some work at Burlington Training Center as well, so getting in work at a couple good spaces locally from what I can tell.
Yeah, man, it's nice. All the guys just meet up at BTC and we get work in. Like, it's nice because all the people around the area, we join up, and there's a lot of guys my weight class, right? So it's nice to get different looks, not just from the Niagara top team guys.
Yeah, no doubt. And I was noticing that you had a birthday relatively recently there. I didn't know you were a Halloween birthday boy. What'd you get up to this year? Was it a little more agreeable with getting some stuff going on, like plans-wise and whatnot, or more of a low-key kind of birthday? What'd you get up to there?
I trained twice that day, man. I did nothing. Yeah, it was like, I just trained twice, man. There was nothing else I wanted to do. I had a little cheat meal, so that was nice. But yeah, me and my girl, we just relaxed, really. Put in 2 sessions early in the morning, called it a day. I watched some of the fights from the day before, actually, because I missed the prelims because of the sparring on Saturday. So I caught up on some fights.
Yeah, it seemed like Forge Fitness Welland is a place you've been getting in steady work at there, too. That seems like it's really paid dividends with the strength and conditioning. And you talked about your significant other getting in that exercise with you, too. I mean, that must be a cool sort of thing there to just have you both on your own individual journeys like that.
No, it is. It's good. I've been with Forge for almost 2 years now. Completely changed my body. Finally feel like a complete athlete, and no, she's loving it. She's thinking about doing strength training, like I think it's Olympic lifting, that's what they call it. Yeah, she likes it. No, it's good. It's good for both of us, right? Wake up early, get it done, get out of the way, and start our day.
Yeah, it seems awesome on a lifestyle level. So I've been anecdotally seeing that a bit on your social media, and I thought that was cool. But something else I saw on the social media was you took a bit of a trip to Vegas there at Syndicate MMA. Like, I want to get some insights on that experience there, because that looked like it was cool, like getting in great work with a lot of people.
Yeah, it was good. AJ was already up there. He drove all the way down, and Cricket and Jazz were heading up there. I think it was like a week or two notice, and I was just like, let's go. I was just down because I was supposed to be fighting for BTC in, I think it was June. I was preparing for a fight and nothing came through. So I was in good shape and I wanted to still test myself. So I mainly went down there, like get some freedom too because of COVID. And everything was pretty open there. But to test myself against some high level guys, like who was that? The Marab, got some good rounds with him.
Yeah, that must have been a great way. I mean, obviously, you've got great talent. You work with a Niagara top team. But just in terms of, like, the global scale of, like, working with certain people, seeing where your present skill level is at, maybe certain aspects you need to just refine a little bit more. Like, how important was it on that end of things? Did it give you some great insights in that sense?
Yeah, it was good, man. It actually boosted my confidence huge. I was going with high-level guys. And I was doing good. Like, I was doing a lot better. Like, looking at record-wise, the guys I was sparring up there towards my record, I would have thought they would have touched me up a lot harder, but I was winning some rounds. Like, I was doing much better than I anticipated to do. You know what I mean? I went up there with the mindset. D-Mark's my head coach, D-Mark Antonio, he told me to go there and give these guys no respect. Like, don't look at them like UFC guys or high-level guys. Just look at them like I can beat them. And with that attitude, I impressed myself. And Prickett was obviously up there with us, so he was watching. And, yeah, we showed up, man. All the guys who came up to Vegas with us, we showed up, and it was good.
Yeah, it looked like you had to meet some classic fight figures, too. Like, I saw the pics with, like, Forrest Griffin and Frank Mir and stuff like that, so that looked fun, too.
Legends, man. No, it was cool. Frank Mir was there a lot helping us, and Forrest, I was, like, starstruck. We're just about to spar, and we're all getting ready, and he's just standing there, and, like, we kind of make eye contact. I'm like, Forrest, like, so I'm like, what's up, man? And he's like, what's up, buddy? And I think it was my second time sparring there, so I was already kind of comfortable, so I'm like, I have to turn it up in front of Forrest. Like, I cannot not turn it up. So I actually impressed him. He asked my coach what my record was, and he seemed like he was pretty impressed, so had it for Forrest. He's an OG. It was good.
Yeah, that's fun to hear. And I was just kind of talking about, you know, how much, you know, Niagara Top Team has that great wealth of, you know, localized talent there and whatnot. Like, I mean, just the name value that it's gotten on a broader scale in terms of people knowing about it now, like, it seems like the growth has been pretty pronounced even from, like, just like the last time we were talking. I mean, how cool is that to have people finally on an international level start recognizing Niagara Top Team? Because I think some of the local people that follow the scene knew what's good, but now I feel like a lot of people are starting to get with the program a little bit.
Yeah, people are starting to recognize. We got our foot in the door with Jazz. It was a big moment. And she's fighting, like, 2 months from now, so it's good. And once one of us made it, we all knew the stepping stones are going to be there. And that's it. Romero, Aaron, like, they're right there knocking on that door. So it's gonna take a little time for everyone. I think it's because we're Canadian, man. Once I went to Vegas, I seen all of them. They're fighting, like, so often. And us being Canadian with COVID going on, it's hard for us to drive over the border. We have to fly to all these fights. There's nothing happening in Canada, really. Like, yeah, it's a lot harder for us to get fights, but we've all gotten a lot better. So it's nice. And people are taking notice. They're going to just keep taking notice year after year. We're going to show up.
Yeah, just the localized, you know, fact that it's in, like, Niagara region in general, just a St. Catharines card and everything like that. How stoked are you about that? I mean, just getting to return from a bit of a hiatus there and have, like, a localized kind of crowd and that sort of partisan kind of presence and everything.
I like it and I don't like it. I'm big on fight trips. Like, I love the whole process of getting ready and heading out with the team on the road. Like, I like fight trips, but I do like that it is in my hometown because I get to show everybody what I've been working on for the past year. It's been a year, so to be honest, I'm just happy to fight, man. Like, I am just happy to show everyone my skill set and how much I've grown and what I can put out there in the cage. And really, just to step in the cage and start smiling, to be honest, it's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, you seem to love it out there. Like, it seems to, you know, be, like, where you're, you know, most comfortable in a certain sense. Like, get to express yourself in a lot of regards. Is that kind of a fair characterization?
No, for sure, man. It's harder. Sparring's way harder than our fighting, to be honest. And I'm not trying to kid, like, we're trying to hurt, not really trying to hurt each other, but we're trying to give it. But this, like, fighting, I can go out there and hurt, buddy. I'm not holding back, so. And all the lights are on me, like, sparring, everyone's sparring together, so no one's watching you, but this is an entertainment sport, so when I'm doing all my ninja shit.
You see the last fight there, not necessarily within that, you know, binary of, like, winning and losing, not necessarily probably the ideal outcome, but I thought you really showed the skills on a pretty well-known show in LFA, like, just in that broader sense, like, what did you learn from that performance in terms of just lessons imparted and just, like, what you showcased in general? Because, like I said, I mean, in the winner-loser binary, didn't get the ideal outcome in that sort of sense. But I mean, felt like you showed a lot of skill in that fight. So like, what was your assessment and I guess main takeaways from that one?
Yeah, it was a loss of my career, but it wasn't a loss in life. Like, it was more, like, I gained so much experience. And, like, looking back on it, just going into the fight, looking at it, I looked at it, like, they called me up on 9 days' notice for LFA. So, right then and there, I wanted to prove to myself that I can show up and fight no matter what. On a big show. And I just look at it like that's gonna happen. We'll see. Like, it could have some. I take that from it. I fought a really good guy, a guy I probably didn't need to fight at the time. But I'm always down. It's my coaches who say yes and no. But I'm normally always down. It doesn't matter who you are. It's a way to win. Unless it's for the UFC, I want to be well prepared. And in the fight, I felt good. I felt really good. I started very slow in the first. I think that's one thing I learned. I got to get off. I wasn't in the shape I wanted to be with my cardio. I watched the fight a bunch of times, and my movement wasn't there. There's things that were there, but once I got comfortable in the second, I took over, and then third came along. I felt my gas tank got me down. He didn't let me back up. He's very technical on top, so it's made me realize that my jits has to be on point with the technique, the little things of getting up, not just always exploding. But no, it was a great learning experience, man, and I definitely don't take it as a loss. It was fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, definitely, great insights, and appreciate you giving me those insights there. I'm kind of curious though, because I was like checking out some of the, I guess, brackets for this tournament they have there and everything like that. Like, are you part of that $10,000 tournament that's going on with the bantamweights there? Because I wasn't necessarily clear with how some of the field layouts were presented.
No, it was for fighters that had like less than 2 fights, I'm pretty sure. And even when I seen it, I wasn't about it. I just didn't. I didn't think that was for me because I don't like to be signed to a contract. Like, that's a 3-fight. Right? That's 3 fights right then there on their shows when they want you to fight. I don't really like that. I like to pick and choose what I'm fighting, who I'm fighting for. But no, and I got 2 buddies that are actually on that tournament. So even then, I wouldn't want to. I'm gonna fight my buddies for $10,000. So
yeah.
It just wasn't for me. But no, I'm not on it.
I figured it was more for like the up and coming kind of, I guess, prospective talent, I guess. I mean look at where you're at. You're signing the contract with the, Jackson Wink and everything like that. So definitely not the tournament for you. I mean, you got a few fights under your belt now, right? Can you kind of talk about that contract signing recently, though? Because, that seemed like it was a pretty big deal there.
Jackson Wink development program. I was just looking for a manager. Me and my manager fell off and fired him. He just wasn't doing what I need him to do for me. My last one. And then I was looking for a manager because I'm like, in this time, you need one. Like, with COVID going on, and especially in the States, like, there was nothing really popping off in Canada. Like, it was, but I felt like I needed a manager just to get me those fights. So I was looking, and my buddy Amro, he's from Jocelyn's, he was training with us for a bit, and now you're top team. And he was telling me about how he went up there to coach his one buddy for XFC, and he met this manager from Jackson Wink. And I was asking him how he liked him and all that. He said he was a nice guy. So he told me he'll hook me up. And then we ended up talking. Talked for a bit. Really liked his vibe and what he thought about the process of getting me to where I need to be in the UFC. And his game plan, as he explained it to me, matched up exactly how my mindset was getting me there. And just the right fights at the right time. And that day he sent me 2 fights in the States. They were good matchups. I was ready to go, but I just didn't, they just didn't work for me, so I just stuck with them. But no, it was pretty huge. I'm probably going to head down there, actually, I think in January after this one, go to New Mexico, train with them. So should be good. Interested to meet him in person, too.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'll have to get the follow-up interview and get some insights on that there. But I wanted to kind of talk about your opponent here coming up, Mike Johnson. Like, I'm wondering if there's been a level of, you know, tape study that you or someone on the team has done to, I guess, pick up on some of his stylistic proclivities, or if this fight is more about just like what your skill set is, what you're bringing to the table, and just expressing yourself as best you can on fight night more so.
Yeah, the dark shark, that's his nickname.
Oh, that's awesome.
I watched him fight. His last fight, I actually watched it live because he was fighting my opponent from my amateur days, the only one who ever beat me in amateur, Shaka Worthy. So I had to watch that. Me and Shaka, like, we're still boys. We talk all the time, and we're cool. So I wanted to watch Shaka, and then I watched him fight. Shaka ended up knocking him out in the second, and then they sent me this guy. I'm like, oh, I know this guy. Shaka just fought him. So I was down right away. We went through a couple people to find this matchup, and this guy said, like, Rob said he signed right away, so I'm like, okay, let's get it. And I already watched him, so I kind of knew his style, and then I had to watch him again. He's okay. He's a wrestler that likes to strike. I broke him down. I sent it to my coaches. I kind of told him, like, I like to make up my own game plans and tell them what I think about the fight and how the fight's going to go in my mind, and then see what they think about it. Like, they don't, like, I don't know. I like being in control of everything and then getting feedback. I don't like, you'll hear people say, oh, their coaches watch all that. Their coaches make the game plan. But to be honest, I'm my own coach at the end of the day. It's me that's getting better in my mind, what I think's right. And then I like to get feedback from the coaches. And they're both down with my game plan. They think it's smart. And I'm going to show all my martial arts skills. I'm going to wrestle. I'm going to go for submissions. I'm going to go for knockouts. I'm going to play the whole MMA game. And mix it up with him. And I don't think he's going to be able to handle all three rounds with me and pull out my whole skill set. And that's the thing. If he's watched me, my last fight was a year ago, fully developed fighter, like, not the same at all. It's not even, like, it's crazy. It's crazy. But yeah, that's that, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm so stoked for this next fight, because I feel like we're almost going to see, you know, another permutation of Tishay Guthrow altogether. So yeah, really looking forward to checking that out. And yeah, the clock's ticking, a few weeks away. I mean, well, less than a few weeks, actually, now that I look at it there. So I mean, yeah, to that point, like I was saying earlier, I imagine you're pretty busy, got a lot of prep you're getting in ahead of this one. So to that point, is there anything you might want to add sort of as a parting thought as we're wrapping things up here, Tishay?
Just watch the fight. It's going to be good. I've been in camp since April, trying to find a fight all the time. Just been trying to find a fight. And this one finally is happening. Well, it's happening when he steps in the cage, and then I'll be fully dialed in. I'm just going to entertain everyone. It's going to be good. You're going to see me smiling. I'm going to probably end up talking to this guy, ripping his head off, taking him down, just beating him up. But to all the fans, love you guys, and make sure you come watch. It's going to be a good one.